Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Men's Room podcast from TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. If, like me, you love a little deal, then you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes, such as TVs, gaming consoles, and even holidays. If you keep spending, you'll keep on saving. That's the Toolstation Club. So make sure you join today, online, in-store, or via the app. A Bosch.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the Men's Room Podcast. As you know, in the Men's Room Podcast, we talk about absolutely everything. And today's episode is going to be, I think, Mr. Jennings, a bit of a tough one for both of us. We're going to be talking about grieving. When I say the word grieving, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Well, I mean, it's synonymous with death, isn't it? It's synonymous with getting over a death of somebody that you love.
Is it death? Is it that?
For me, grieving is synonymous with death for me. I think you can grieve for many things. Yeah. I don't think it always has to be
but
death.
The peak of it is death.
And maybe this is a sign of a fairly privileged and lucky life, but the only time I've really had to grieve, apart from very recently, in fact, is a death. Mm. Like, I haven't had to grieve for anything else. I haven't had... I don't know. I haven't got divorced, for example. I haven't, you know, there are other reasons to grieve, most certainly, but I haven't experienced any of them.
Yeah. I think my first or earliest memory of grieving, I say earliest, it was actually as an adult / child, was when my best friend passed away through violence. It was actually through violence. And I remember at the time.
How old were you?
I was 22.
And how old was he?
Olu, 22. Same age group. And he got stabbed outside of a nightclub in London. And like, it's a bit of a crazy story, but it was his birthday, everyone was celebrating. He then decided to go to a club just to get into that club before, back in the day, you know, if you're not there before 12, you can't get in type things. He wanted to get in the club. And then we started hearing stories about, Olu's been stabbed in the club. Like, someone smashed a bottle over his head and then he got stabbed. And it's funny because I'm not going to try and paint the picture that we were just, you know, perfect little kids running around. There was a few naughty kids within the group, but naughty to the point where you're doing things that maybe you shouldn't have done, but not to the point where you're killing someone.
Not this.
Do you know what I mean? So it was always, you're out, you're having a bit of fun. It never got to that. So his wife was at home.
Oh, pregnant, he's married?
Married. Pregnant with, going to get married, fiance. Pregnant with their second kid. So the news obviously had to go to her. And I didn't tell her, it wasn't me, it wasn't my job, but there's someone told her that a husband-to-be is not coming home. And then, obviously, as much as I grieved, I remember always thinking about, I'm grieving, but I almost softened my grieving, thinking, what is she going through?
Yeah. It's not your grief, effectively, in that situation, is it?
No.
Despite it
being extremely painful for me.
Yeah.
I've lost my friend and, you know, someone that I confided in a few things, but she's going through something I can't even imagine.
It's horrific.
So she's not hearing that, oh, he's been stabbed, but he's okay, he's in hospital. Yeah. Or he's had a fight, but he's all right. He's not coming home.
At such a young age.
Not coming home. The breadwinner, not coming home. Your family just immediately just falls apart there and then.
Yeah. That's horrific. So,
horrible.
And did it hit you hard?
Massively. Massively. Painfully, actually, thinking about it now. Just a very, very close friend. It's weird.
Were you there with him that night prior to him going to the other place? Yeah. And did he go to the other place on his own?
He went to the other place with a friend of ours called Remy, who's not very, not that life.
Troublesome.
Yeah, not like that quiet guy, nice guy, just wanted to go out. And even back then, doing silly things, you knew that, okay, if we see certain people, something could happen. But you're almost thinking, okay, something could happen, could be a little fight. You're not thinking, never, oh, something
that
could happen.
Never that.
And it's funny, the guy that actually killed Olu, tried to run away, tried to leave the country. He went to Somalia, then went to Miami, and then I think got extradited from Miami back to London. Yeah. But yeah, you know, the weirdest thing about all of that is it caused so much. It was probably the one time when I thought, as a stupid little kid, you think you're a bad boy, whatever. You know, you're running around doing silly things. It was the one time where I thought, okay, this is not my life. Because I remember my older brother kind of having to kind of just stop, like, stop now, because this is now getting out of hand. Mm. This person's fighting that person. This person's fighting that person. But going back to the grieving part, it just really affected me. I can't put it into words. Like, I grieved more from that, probably more than hearing my dad had passed. Maybe.
I think I can understand that. I think I can understand it because shock.
Yeah.
Presumably your father was of an age where it wasn't, yeah. It can't be as shocking as a 22-year-old.
No, it can't be.
Do you know what I mean? It can't be.
No, it can't be. I think just the way he passed away as well. Do you know what I mean? The violence.
Yeah. Like when so needless.
So
pointless. And I imagine that the person who was involved would now, at the age of 40, would say, so pointless. Like, everybody involved probably assumes that the whole thing was now so avoidable, so regrettable. Mm. But yeah, I imagine that is, like, one of the worst things that you could ever experience as a young man, your friend dying through something that is so avoidable.
Yeah.
Did it affect you in terms of, like, progressing through the next few years? Like, how regularly did it feature in your mind?
I think for the next 5 or so years, a lot. Like, the date, I remember the date, 5th of December, I remember that.
And
was always
does it come
December.
To you now, 5th of December?
All the time. All the time. You just remember, I've actually got a tattoo of him here, but all the time, just,
so Christmas
remember.
Linked as well, isn't
yeah,
it?
It's yeah. So, but again, I just think of his wife, and it's weird now, I think of his, like, his son now, 20.
He'll be the age that you were when it happened.
Yeah.
Do you have any
No, I don't. No, it's a big regret. I don't. I vanished from everyone for a little while.
Yeah.
I just everyone kind of grieved themselves. It's weird because he died, and then there was like 3 deaths closely linked that passed away as well within the group. So it really got really violent. So I think everyone dealt with their own grief somehow. But I was just very close with Olu. Like, Olu was, he was homeless for a while. He stayed with my family for Christmas. We looked at him like a brother, as opposed to just a friend. My mum liked him a lot. She probably didn't know what we were doing, you know, when we left the house, but everyone really loved him. So,
how did your grief manifest itself? Like, for some people, I think they can grieve in anger in a situation like that. They could grieve in potentially more violence. They could grieve in solitary confinement.
Yeah, solitary confinement. I turned into a recluse, and I think it's funny because I think I'm still that now. I'm very much shut the door. Don't answer phones, bad communication. You know, there's bad communication. And I feel like I shut myself from the world now.
Do you think that is linked?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I literally went into this, I didn't want to speak to anyone. I just kind of just got into my flat in Stratford and would shut the door and cry or commiserate. I'd even have random dreams of him being alive. Like, and the dreams were so vivid. I remember waking up like thinking, oh my God, he's here, and this has all been some sort of weird matrix, something going on. But yeah, I definitely think his death definitely sent me into a weird world of just shutting everyone away.
Yeah.
Like, having someone so close and then go, it made me not want to have people that close to me anymore. Like, people to become best friends just in case something happens to them and they vanish. Which is why it took me so long for me and my ex to get really that close, because it was like, no, I don't mean to be that close, just in case you then run or vanish or disappear.
No, that's horrific. I think in terms of anything that I think anybody can experience, that exact example has to be one of the worst. Yeah. Effectively, a murder, which makes it on a different scale altogether. You know, it's not a hateful act of nature. It's something that is completely avoidable.
I think violence for all these kids. I know this has maybe taken us away from the podcast conversation, but I think the street violence that all these kids go through nowadays.
Do you know what it is, Addy? I think it's because you're of an age where most people stop thinking even violent thoughts, or thinking that violence is cool. Like, there was a time in my life when I would certainly glamorize, say, casual culture, which is obviously linked to football violence.
Yeah.
Like, when I was at university, I did a dissertation on football violence and casual culture and the importance of it almost. Whereas now, I just think, what on earth are you doing? Like, what? But it's because I'm not 23. If we were 23, I'd be having a completely different approach to it. And also, touch wood, I think we've both been fairly lucky of late in terms of the way that our careers have gone. So there's less anger built within us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, we don't look at society and think society is taking everything from us and we have nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we have nothing. But I'll say this though, like when my dad passed away, so I was 20, it was around the same time as Olu actually, but I was maybe 21, maybe 20. When he passed away, didn't even affect me at all. Like, I remember actually.
How old was he?
He was in his 60s. But I remember him, he wasn't with us, so he'd left my mum, he was in Nigeria. I remember he had a stroke and he came back to see us. And I was like, I ain't seen you for 10 years. Like, even though there was, you know, my childhood growing up, I do remember him, Liverpool, all the stuff. But I remember he came back, he had a stroke. And I remember, because his arm was limp. I remember just, it was weird. His face, the side of his face had so I remember looking at him thinking, I felt sorry for you, but I remember how you treated my mum, so I didn't really care. So when he then went back to Nigeria, and then we got the news that our dad's passed away, zero. I'm not joking, didn't affect me. I was with my friends, I was living like a little homeless hostel. I thought, I'm going through my own struggles, I don't really care. Years passed by, and it really affected me. Like, I thought, okay, I need a man to talk to. Like, I felt like my brothers were just doing what they were doing. I had no real man in my life to have a conversation with about relationships, about just going through shit. Do you know what I mean? Through struggles. So I remember, like, for about a good 2 years, it really affected me that dad wasn't here. So anyone, it's weird. Anytime I meet anyone, even you to an extent, and people say, oh, I'm not really talking to my dad, I'm like, talk to your dad. Like, please, if you can, because I would give everything to have just a conversation. Just about anything. Anything. Like, even when I was going through, like, obviously we've done me running away from a marriage, I probably wouldn't have run away if my dad was around. I probably would have had a conversation with my dad. Dad, this is happening. What are you doing? Where are you? I'm coming now. Type thing. So, at the time, didn't affect me. But then growing up, definitely felt grief not speaking to my dad.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine that would be. I mean, I think you're correct in terms of how it can come back to haunt you later.
Yeah.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The Men's Room Podcast on TalkSport is proudly sponsored by Toolstation. This is your little reminder that you can join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store, or via the app. You might be thinking, why would I sign up? But I'm glad you asked. At Toolstation, if you keep spending, you keep on saving. Signing up means that not only will you get a lovely 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, but there are thousands of prizes to be won. So that's the Toolstation Club, so make sure you join today online, in-store, or via the app.
I had a similar experience in that. When my grandmother died, so my father's mum.
Your father's mum,
and I wasn't close to her, and
just that side?
That side of the family. I didn't go to that funeral. This would have been when I was probably 20, maybe a little bit older.
Yeah, I didn't go to my dad's funeral.
I didn't go to the funeral of my dad's mum. Mm. Because I was young, because I was angry, because I felt like it was making a statement, but it was a statement full of bitterness and hate. Now, of course I should have gone to that. Yeah. I should have gone to that funeral for the rest of the family. My cousin's on that Fancy. Side of the family. I certainly it would be ridiculous for me to say that I grieve for that grandmother, but I kind of grieve for the situation, and it would have put my dad in a very awkward position. It would have been quite embarrassing for him, I think, to have gone to his mother's funeral, and I opted out of going. But at the time, I also think it's very difficult to judge young people for behaving in a way that young people behave in. Mm. Like, you know, it would be churlish to say that you should have felt more. You shouldn't have felt more because you felt what you felt at the time. And it was right.
At the time. Yeah. And that was
and
it.
And there were other things going on. Right. But do you know, you mentioned that your dad had a stroke. Do you know what's happened to me over the past 3 weeks now? My grandmother had a stroke.
Mm.
And as soon as we finish here, I'm going to go to St. Pancras. There's an amazing hospital in St. Pancras, which is the most old-fashioned. It's like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, is it like you expect Florence Nightingale to come out? Honestly, it's like, I've never known any building like it. You know, and it's all like arches.
It's perfect.
And, yeah, like, I swear, you could have like hidden in that building during like an air raid or whatever. It's like so, so old-fashioned. But do you know what I had, which I don't know if this is even, I don't even know if it would be quantified as grief, but I guess it was grief for me. There was a moment when I looked at my nan, and she's still alive, thank God, right? And touch wood, that continues. But I looked at her face, and I looked at her movement, and there was an element of me that was, like, I sort of really had a break. That, I made a mistake. She's got a flat, right, Kilburn High Road, and I was staying over. Mm. And I stayed in her flat while she's in hospital. So I walked in her flat, which I've done 1,000 times.
Without her there, though?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. In terms of like grief, in terms of like a breakdown, I don't think I've ever done it. I don't think I've ever, you know, it's almost cinematic, isn't it? You know, when you see people kind of like break down, they lose, they potentially have to sit down. Yep. I've never had to sit down in an emotional context.
It's crazy,
ever.
Isn't it?
And I nearly lost my footing. Like, yeah. I genuinely nearly went over because I walked in her flat, and her flat is like a shrine to me. It's pictures of me and her everywhere, right? And I'd gone from the hospital, and I thought, I kind of felt like I was grieving because the relationship that we had, particularly in that flat, like, I turn up late, you know, if I'm staying over, I turn up late, I'm like, Nan, whack the kettle on, I'll be there in a minute. And she's like nearly 90. And like, I just had images of her like, going, you shouldn't even be coming around, it's too late, you know, like having an argument, I'll be there staying. I was like, that may never happen again. Like, fingers crossed, like, please God it does, right? But that specific thing may never happen again. And you can kind of grieve for the loss of someone or a situation when that someone is still alive, because it's a change.
That's very, very interesting that you say that, that you brought it to. And look, by the way, touch wood, that your gran is all right. Because I need those. That's our day. I need those voice notes.
Yeah, she really can't pronounce your name. Yeah. But she absolutely loves you. Her pronunciation of your name. See, I could grieve for the loss of that, though.
Yeah.
You know, like, I turn up in her house, honestly, and she'll be watching this. Mm. She'll be watching this. She'll be watching us on YouTube. She'll have it on all the time. And she'll tell me things that you've said. And I'll say, who? And then she'll say your name in the most ridiculous way possible. Yeah. And I love it. And I don't... You know,
those
like,
moments.
You can grieve for that, can't you? You can grieve for the end.
Yeah, like when me and my ex split up, I definitely grieved.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good example.
I 100% grieved. I was like, my God, like, it's done, isn't it? Like, and I felt like, oh my God, I'm walking away for something that I was 100% thinking this was going to be for us until we were 90.
And the second that you walk away, even if you want to go back, you've changed the trajectory. You've changed the landscape.
Like, somehow.
Yeah, you can't.
It's now moved.
We've altered everything.
You've altered the future in a weird way. Yeah.
Because if you walk away from a wedding, even if you then get married, it's different.
It's not the same.
It's different.
Man, I grieved when I found out she'd got married.
Yeah, I bet.
Dude, I was in South Africa, literally just working. I thought, you know, we're all right now, you know, it's over. Fantastic. People started messaging me and they're like, Ade, Tokes.
Yeah, she's married.
Tokes. It's about Dammy. And I'm like, what's happened? I thought she's in Nigeria. I thought drama. And I was like, go on her Instagram. I was like, I'm blocked. What are you talking about? Go on her Instagram. I can't see. So they started sending me photos. I'm working, by the way. I'm like, the fuck is that? Like, literally, I was like, I'm not joking. My heart literally went, I was like, that's impossible. I thought it was a maker. I was like, that is, so I remember messaging someone saying it's a joke, it's impossible.
Who's this prick?
Yeah, I said it's impossible. I said it's a joke, it's impossible. Like, she loves me so much, 12 years, she's not really married to that guy. Then I got to the hotel, she was married. I was definitely grieving.
Do you know that's a fella's
definitely
thing?
Definitely.
I think 100%. That's a boy thing.
It's a boy thing.
I remember when-
now she's single, I'm like, hey, good.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
Do you know what? I had a girlfriend, like my longest relationship that wasn't Victoria. This will either demonstrate sort of my insanity or fellas listening to this will listen to this and go,
yeah.
Hang on, I did that.
Yeah.
I remember going out with my ex-girlfriend, right? And I wanted to break up with her. I was done. It was over. She had a little flat on Askew Road, sort of Shepherd's Bush. And I remember going there to break up. I was travelling. Like, I literally travelled to end the relationship. I had to get the tube there.
A text isn't enough.
No, I thought, do it the right way. Tube to Shepherd's Bush. I'm getting a 207 bus down the Uxbridge Road. And I'm like literally scripting my bold and convincing final speech, right? I'm so ready to end this. I'm so up for ending it.
Yeah, really? Okay.
Mate, I knocked on the door. She opened the door and she went, you're not coming in. This is over. And I went, but I love you. I was like, what were you doing, mate? You've literally turned up here to end it.
Yeah.
And she's ended it and you've gone, hang on a minute. No.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, yeah.
It's just sort of a power thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or just a young thing. Like, I'd have been 26.
That might be a power thing. Like, when I found out she'd got married, I was like, that's impossible. Because she must love me so much, she can't get married to someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no way.
So ego and it there as well.
No,
yeah,
broke my heart. Yeah, I was grieving. And it's funny because a few friends were messaging me. Like, you got friends and you got friends.
Mm.
So the friends, the below ones, are like, you're all right. I was like, well, somewhere else. Stupid question.
Yeah.
The friends are like,
no, man, I'm not all right.
Bro,
can
I'm
you
not
come
right,
around?
You know, where are you?
Yeah. Bring some Hummingbird Bakery cakes, man, because I ain't all right.
I'll be in London a couple of days, meet you at the flat. We need to work this one out. Yeah. But look, I think we can all grieve in different ways. And as you just mentioned there is death and then there's just grieving because something's ended.
Mm.
Something's done. There isn't.
I mean, aside from the fairly trite, keep going.
Mm.
It gets easier. You know, the standard
which
advice.
Which is true, but that's...
But it's so true.
That's all you can give to someone. Yeah. Like, the idea of trying to sit someone down and talk to them, it literally
and
is...
at the time, it feels so hollow.
Yeah,
you know, someone goes, oh, mate, time's a healer.
And I'm like, well, no, it's not, because how long?
Yeah.
Like, talk to me. What are you talking, a week,
but
a month?
But it really is. I think anybody listening to this should really remember, like time is a healer. Like, it really does change. And the way that you feel... It's not about days. It's not maybe not even about weeks. It's sometimes not even about months.
Sometimes it's years.
But the way that you feel a year beyond the situation, it really does change.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so sad. You know, when people make sometimes a final
rash decision.
Yeah.
Or I know what you mean. A final one based on that moment now.
Yeah.
As opposed to just
you've
somehow,
made a permanent decision for not a permanent feeling.
Somehow just wait.
Yeah.
Just wait.
Yeah, it's very sad. Mm. But
it's almost like what they tell to people, when you're angry, just take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
But take a deep breath, but it's got to last 18 months, basically, is the advice.
Yeah.
No, it's horrific. And there is no easy fix. There is no cure. It's almost a rite of passage, because one thing that is a great leveller in society is everybody, regardless of how privileged, regardless of anything, everybody will have that moment. Everybody will feel as low as you felt that day. Everybody has it. There's a scale, of course, but everybody has their version of it.
Yeah. No one's immune from it.
No. There's not enough money in the world to stop people having that feeling, because it's totally...
Sure, it is the great leveller.
Great leveller. But to anybody listening to this who is either grieving now or potentially will grieve in the future... The only thing that I can ever sort of say to it is persevere, because it does get
improve,
easier.
It does get better.
It really does.
Rory, as always, good one, that.
It's a good episode, mate. It's nice to talk to you about it as well.
Indeed. And look, we wish your nan a speedy recovery as
Thank you very much. I'm off to St. Pancras now.
Potentially, when's she up? Like, fingers, like, everything goes
Do you know what? Last Friday, Ed, I had like one of the worst days of my life. Last Friday, I thought she was coming out. You know, I play football on a Friday morning. Do you know we work on a Friday morning doing the Talk Sports show?
Yeah, and you always play football.
I play
Tesco
football
End.
First. Tesco End, that's Tesco where I shoot, end, in case yeah. anyone, in case any scouts are passing. Yeah. But I play football on that Friday morning. I went to football, and my nan was going home last Friday. Finished football, I had a load of missed calls. I had to run to UCH in Euston. She'd had what we thought at the time was another stroke. So she's gone from me going to football, I'm like walking to down the Barbican, right? You know, like Mary Poppins, you know, when a bird's like landing on her finger and she's singing to it. Like, that was me walking down the Barbican in the sun. So happy, right? Football skipping. Ended, skipping, just over the moon. Football ended, it was pouring rain, like ridiculously. Last Friday, the game was actually abandoned a bit early because it was so rainy. She's not only is she not going home, yeah, but we think she had another stroke. It wasn't a stroke, mate. She had a urine infection, which sent her mental. Like, I don't know if you've ever known anything about a urine infection. It sends you mental. So she, like, we thought it was another stroke. Thank God it wasn't. She's still in now, but I just can't believe like the care and you know like the this place in King's Cross. It just blows your mind.
Private.
No, St. Pancras Hospital, it's a recovery hospital. Mm. But do you know what is just like amazing about it? To anyone who, like say you have prejudice in your life, like say you are prejudiced about
anything.
Racism, say.
Okay.
This place, mate, they are angels. Angels looking after her, I swear. Like they are the people that are looking after her, doing like hardest things possible to everyone in there. Every single person there is female and African. You know, if you do have that kind of edge.
Yeah, if you ever have that little racial prejudice.
You know, no, but you know, if anyone does, they have to go there.
You have to go in there and it'll change your mind.
Like, I just can't. The way that they look after her in this place would, like it blows my mind. Do you know what I mean?
Must be Nigerian. We're taking it. Must be Nigerian.
Yeah.
We're going to take it. Rory, again, thank you so much for opening up. As you always do, good episode, that one, of the Men's Room podcast. Remember, you can download this podcast from wherever you download your podcast from. If you are watching this on YouTube, make sure you give us a thumbs up, leave a comment, like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff as always. And we'll see you on the next episode of the Men's Room podcast.
Toolstation are the proud sponsors of the Men's Room podcast on TalkSport. Join the Toolstation Club today online, in-store or via the app, and you will save some money getting a 5% discount shopping with Toolstation, as well as a chance to get your hands on some fantastic prizes, such as TVs, gaming consoles, and even holidays. If all that isn't enough, then remember, if you sign up, then you will get loads of exclusive discounts that aren't available anywhere else. That's the Toolstation Club, so make sure you join today, online, in-store or via the app.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.